know that you will see Jesus again someday. And you will see Him as He is. If you look in the first chapter of Revelation, as Jesus appeared to John, and as you look in, I think it's chapter 6 or 7, as he, maybe 8 I think it is, as He appeared to John, different times Jesus appeared in different ways to different people. On the road to Emmaus, their eyes were holden and they didn't recognize Him after the resurrection. When Mary was at the tomb, and supposing He was a gardener, she didn't recognize Him until He called Him out by name. When the disciples were on the sea, they went out fishing. They didn't recognize Him until they got the miracle of the fish and they realized it was the Lord. Many times we don't recognize Jesus when He's right around us and right next to us and right with us. Jacob said he didn't know that the Lord was in this place as he slept and had the vision of the ladder as he made a pillow out of rocks that night and slept. It's very important that we really focus upon Jesus and who He is. That's a neat thing. I just want to share a praise with you. I'd mentioned this before, but I'm still excited about it. Our youngest grandson got baptized last night. They was having an anniversary Sunday down at Tower Road, and he got saved a couple of weeks earlier. And we'd talked to him about it. His dad talked to him about it. His dad dealt with him at the altar. Grandma talked to him when he was with us this weekend. And what's very interesting, he wants to read his Bible. He wants to read his Bible. And that's, we pray that that'll continue in their lives. They're young and innocent many times, and we try and keep them that way. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's a great honor and a great privilege to know that the circle will not be broken. Son saved, daughter-in-law saved, her parents are saved, her brother saved, her sister-in-law saved, my wife's mother saved. I mean, all of those that, and my parents, I'm sure, were saved. It's all of these things that are something that's even more exciting for a Christian's life, to be able to know these things in your life. And it's a great blessing. And I tell people, they worry about their children being saved and different things like that. But I tell people, if you keep them in church and keep them under the Word of God on a regular basis, you know, not here and there, but, you know, God will, they'll get under the preaching. And they'll, you know, sometimes it's teenagers, sometimes it's young ones. But I found it 9 times out of 10, 99% of the time, if they'll stay in church, something will happen. Something will happen. Because the Word of God is sharp and powerful than a two-edged sword, piercing down and dividing asunder soul and spirits and joints and marrow and thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God can do those things in your life. Yeah, let's do Psalms. Okay. I had 2 or 3 things running around up here in my head, so. Psalms 46. Excuse me. We mentioned verse 10 this morning in our Bible study time and Sunday school hour. But as I looked at Psalms 46, it kind of went along with our theme of what we've been talking about, victories with God in our life. And a person can have victory in their life. A Christian can have victory in their life. There will be battles. There will be wars. You may not win every war in this world, but you can have victory in your life. You can have joy in your life. You can have happiness and joy in your life. Because our eyes are on Jesus, and we will see Him as He truly is. I think that is going to be a very, very, extremely unimaginable, undescribable, exciting time to see Jesus for the first time. There are no pictures, no cameras, no carvings, no of anything of Jesus. All that's been done today is what artists think he looks like. There was nothing recorded from that era that gives us what Jesus looks like. It is not there. It's not available. It wasn't done. A few of them have it correctly with the shorter hair. He was a Nazarene from Nazareth. He didn't have the Nazarite vow with the long hair like Samson did, because he came in contact with dead bodies and all those things. And grape juice and anything to do with the vine, all of that would disqualify him from being a Nazarite. He did have a beard. His mother was Jewish. He had the Jewish look. Maybe, you know, the longer nose possibly. The kind of olive-complected skin. He was a Jew. So many different ones, Native Americans and different colored people and different things talk about Jesus as being white man's God. No. He's not really a Caucasian, I guess. I don't know. He's not dark, but he's not light either. But you see, he is a man for everyone in all generations. This is not going to work, Psalms 46 tonight. I'm sorry. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. I was studying that all afternoon, but maybe another day. God's just not giving me peace about it. I can't get off of this subject here. Revelation chapter 1. We want to look about what John saw when he saw Jesus. Revelation chapter 1, the first three chapters are written to the churches of Asia. There were seven actual churches at this time. He talks about who he is. Look at verse 10. Revelation 1:10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, by the way, this is Sunday, because that was changed after the resurrection. They said, bring your tithes and offerings in the first day of the week and all those things. By this time, they were worshiping on Sunday. Another lesson, though. Okay. Now then, the Lord's day, it belongs to God. And I heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet. Now, we studied here on Wednesday nights a little bit about John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then we studied about how the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We studied how there wasn't anything made that wasn't made by the Word of God. We talked about how God in creation spoke, and all these things took place. The Word, God, Jesus Christ, was there at creation. Now, we talk about listening to Jesus. We talked about sitting at the feet of Jesus through our scriptures and the Word of God and letting the Word of God talk to us. Here we have a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, if you notice bands and orchestras and different things like that, they'll have a big string section. They'll have a big woodwind section many times, but they only have two or three trumpets. Well, they have a couple of trombones or something like that, because they are so loud and they go out over everything, and they're made to broadcast and be loud and be heard and to be a piercing sound Trumpets were used in battle and attacks and different times to call the troops back and send them out. Signals were sent out. The cavalry, all kinds of things. The army, all these things, they used a trumpet. They used a bugle. Well, this was announcing something. It was a great voice. God didn't have a megaphone or a speaker system or PA system or anything like that. He had a voice that carried and was loud and spoke. He spoke from Mount Sinai and it made it shake and it made the people afraid. He spoke and there was creation. He spoke and people rose from the grave. He spoke and people received their sight. He spoke and people got saved. He spoke and people's hearts were touched. He has a great voice, piercing voice. Verse 11, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. You know, that's the first. That's like, I'm the A and the Z is like what he's saying here, the alphabet. What thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, in Ephesus, Samaria, Pergamos, and into Thyatira, and to Sardis, and Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Now, look at this verse 12. This is an exciting verse. I've probably shared this with you before. And I turn to see the voice. Now, you're not going to say that. If you're down on the Lord's day, he was prostrate, down on his knees, praying. He was meditating. He was getting close to God. And he heard this great voice like a trumpet come out behind him. And you're going to stand up and see who it is. That isn't what he said. That isn't what he said. He says, I turn to see the voice. He turned to see the voice. How do you see a voice? You don't. But you see the Word of God. And it was the voices of Jesus that they sat under for so many years. It was the voice of Jesus as they heard as they preached to him. It was the voice of Jesus that touched John's heart and the disciples saw. It was the voice of Jesus that called Lazarus from the tomb. It was a voice of Jesus says, I'll be back. It was the voice of Jesus that they were waiting to hear. It's the trumpet of God. That's what they wanted to see. And he turned to see the voice, what? Which spake with me. When Jesus speaks, he's just not speaking out to just everybody. General congregation making an announcement. When Jesus speaks, he speaks to individual hearts, individual people, one-on-one, one at a time. Jesus, he turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. He heard this voice. He turned to see what it was. Because it was talking to him. I bet John's heart skipped a beat that day. Now remember, he's in exile on the Isle of Patmos. He's up in his years. And be with me, and behold, turning, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man. Now, let's stop before we get too far here. Look down in verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. A church is compared to a candlestick in the Bible. What was a candlestick for? To hold the light. Hold the star. A bright shining star. The angels to the stars, the messengers. Everybody most of the time agrees this represents the pastors because they are the messengers for the church. Angel is messenger. But listen. This church is a candlestick. If it still has a light, put up on a hill, not hid under a bushel, so Satan, and you don't let Satan blow it out. A little song we used to sing about this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I was talking to our daughter-in-law at lunch, and they had a game down in Belen or Los Alamos with the Christian school she works in. They had lost, but they had a good time, and they're starting to see some spiritual growth in the teenagers. Been several of them saved and different things like that. She says they were coming back singing songs. And they would sing this song, "This Little Light of Mine," that's holding up their cell phones with the lights on them. And I says, "Well, I guess that's the new candles of today, you know, the cell phones." But they were excited and singing songs. Listen, this church is a candlestick with a light in it. And as long as the light stays burning, the candlestick will be kept. The light of the Word of God, the light into the world, la luz del mundo. Now, seven gold set aside, deity, in the midst likened to the Son of Man. In the Gospel of John, he is known as the Son of Man most of the time. John, the same one that wrote the Gospel of John, is the same one God's using to write the book of Revelation, the Son of Man. Clothed with a garment down to the foot. That's a whole lot different from the last time they saw him hanging on the cross, as he was completely exposed and naked through the whole world. Nakedness is a type of sin in the Bible. Adam and Eve lost their covering when they sinned. Jesus hung naked before everyone. He didn't have a little loin cloth or anything across him like all the pictures show. He was completely, openly exposed to the whole world as he hung there on that cross. Now he's clothed with the garment all the way down to the foot and girded about the paps with the golden girdle up and around the chest area. Kind of like the judges wear their robe. And that's why the judges, it's judgment. That signifies judgment as they have their robes girded up here. That's why the judges' robes are made the way they are, because that signifies judgment. And it's girded about, it's tied about with gold, which represents deity, which represents God. So we have the Son of God in a robe all the way down to the floor, girded about with gold around his chest, representing the judge, and his head, verse 14, his hairs were like wool. Notice the word like. Not they weren't wool, but they were white like wool. As white as snow. Signifies a judge. Why do they wear white wigs in England, the judges? It signifies judgment. It signifies wisdom. The white heads, the gray heads, that signifies wisdom. It signifies experience. It signifies judgment. He is superior. He has the paps girded around, and he has the white hair. His eyes were as flames of fire. If you don't have that word "as" there, you're going to come up with some weird-looking creature here. He didn't have fire shooting out of his eyeballs, but it was the same effect. You know when you get down on your knees before God and you ask Him to examine you, look down in you, check you out, see if there's any sins, iniquities, or transgressions in your life. He has those piercing eyes that looks down to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and He sees everything about you. Fire is judgment. Fire is cleansing. All these things talk about judgment here as He's coming. Remember, He's coming. This is the end times here. And, verse 15, his feet likened to fine brass as they burned into a furnace. Judgment. Brass. And the voice as the sound of many waters. They say when you're up by a waterfall, you can't hear. A big old waterfall, you put your hands up to somebody's ear. They can't hear you. Have a trumpet, as many waters, this great voice that's taking over everything. This voice is totally occupying everything. That's the way it needs to be when we get into the Word of God. We need to let that Word come to us and speak to us and take over our life completely as we're in the Word of God and see what's going on. Have you ever tried to talk to a child when they're watching cartoons? Or maybe wife talking to the husband when they're watching football. I don't know. They don't hear you. They don't hear you. I mean, they don't hear you. Because they're focused right there. Well, that's the way we need to be with Jesus. Focused right there. That's why he said a voice is a trumpet. A voice is many waters that came over him. In verse 16, he had in his right hand seven stars. These are the seven angels to the churches, as we read down in verse 20. You want to take it as these are the seven pastors. He has them in his hand. And I thank God for that many times. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. We've been talking about the voice and the word. And his countenance, the way he looked, was as the sun shining in his strength. A bright, bright, clear New Mexico sun day when it's just blaring out there. You can't look at it. You can't stare at it. It'll burn your eyes. Verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. No wonder. No wonder. When he saw Jesus. No wonder. Man. Can you just kind of let your mind work and picture this out in your mind? What the great thing is about literature and reading. You can go places and be anything you want to be. You think about this. John was in exile, a prisoner. He's worshiping God in prayer by himself. And he hears this great voice and he turns to see the voice. And this is what he sees. Something brighter than the sun. Hair white, feet of brass, golden paps of white robe all the way down, completely covering him. Eyes piercing that you cannot escape from. A voice like many waters, thundering, feet, and he's standing there with these seven stars in his hand, and he's looking at him. A voice that pierces like a knife, two-edged sword, as Hebrews 4:12. And I fell at his feet as dead. Man. That's what John saw. What will we see? Look what Jesus did. Put out his right hand and touched him. Jesus touched him. Jesus touched him. The right hand of God, the strong and right arm of God, Jesus Christ, saying to me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. He's got a job for John. He's going to take him up to heaven and show him all these things. He's going to have him write all this stuff down. Many times when he appeared in the upper room and different things, he says, fear not, fear not. Coming in the presence of Jesus is a fearful experience sometimes. Kind of grabs your old soul and shakes it up a little bit. Gets your attention a little bit. And he saw this and he looked at this and he touched him and he brought him up and he says, I got something for you, John. Don't be afraid. Basically, he's saying, it's me. It's me, John. How Jesus describes himself. I am the first. Always has been. And the last will always be. I am he that liveth. I'm alive now. was dead on the cross. But behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen, he says. This is what Jesus said. Jesus says, I'm dead. I'm alive. I was dead and I'm alive forevermore. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said amen once in a while too, huh? Listen to that. Like Brother Al said, it's all right to say hallelujah. It's all right to let something happen in your life. It's all right to get your blood flowing a little bit. It's all right to get a little excited about Jesus because, listen, I'm going to see Him someday and I'm going to see what John saw here someday. I am going to be able to see what John saw that day on the Isle of Patmos. I will be able to see the same thing he saw. Ain't that, won't that be a great day? Man. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I will see. Wow. Wow. But I want us to look at another spot in Revelation. Chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. This is before the scrolls, the seven seals, all those things are opened up. This is another view of Jesus. That we will see in heaven. They're looking for somebody to open up this scroll or this book that has this seven seals. And they're looking all over the place and they can't find anyone. Revelation 5:5. And they're looking and they're weeping and they're trying to find someone. In Revelation 5:5, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion, the Jew, the root of David, the lineage of David, hath prevailed victory, won the battle, fought, defeated the devil at his own game, to open the book. Deed to the earth, basically. To loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. That's over in Isaiah 11:2. But listen, capital L. What did John the Baptist said when he announced Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. Before we get, we'll go over to chapter 6. I want to show you something here in Revelation chapter 6. 6:16. Revelation 6:16. This is the sixth seal that opens up all these terrible things, the earth and all that stuff's happening. Look in verse 6:16 of Revelation. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of the wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? He's called the Lamb here again. Here we're going to see a Lamb as it had been slain. Now, some of you have been around the farm, around the ranch, seen deer, lambs, pigs, cows killed. Whatever they do, they always slit the throat. The Jews were supposed to eat meat that had all the blood drained out of it. When Jesus hung on that cross, Isaiah says his vesture was marred more than anybody else that ever has been. The beatings, the whippings, all the things that he went through, many of the people never even survived those to the cross. He pretty much was just a hunk of raw meat hanging on the cross, with bones and tendons and different things all exposed from that whipping and all the stuff that happened. I think of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when they sinned. They made them fig leaves. They wouldn't hide because they were naked. And God made them coats of skin. The only way you're going to get a coat of skin is to skin the animal. That's the first time innocent blood was shed to cover sin as a type of Christ as they killed that animal. Oh, we're going to see Jesus in His glory, but we're also going to see Jesus as He was a lamb on the cross. We are going to see what Jesus looked like hanging upon that cross. We are going to see what it cost for our sins to be forgiven. We're going to see that. We're going to see how Jesus looked on that cross. As the lamb was slain. Remember when Abraham and Isaac, he raised up the knife and God stopped him. What's he going to do? Slit their throat. Drain that blood for a sacrifice. All of Jesus' blood was shed that day for mine and your sins on that cross. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to see Jesus just as He is. Jesus comes back riding on a white charger, a horse. With many crowns upon his head. Chapter 19 of Revelation. At 19:11 in Revelation. And I saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. Notice capitalized. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written which no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. There we are back to that voice again. And the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. There's the word again. That with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron, and tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And on his vesture he had his, and on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We will see Jesus as He is. You're going to be back behind Him when this takes place. He does all the fighting, but we're the great multitude of the army that comes with Him. All the horse lovers are going to be happy now. Huh? But listen, we will see Him as He is. But today, you need to see Him as He is in your life. You need to see Him as He is right now in your life. How do you see Jesus? What do you think in your mind as you think of Jesus? Where is He at in your life today? How do you see Him in your life today? What's He doing in your life today? What has He talked to you about today? What have you talked to Him about today? What did you talk to Him about to Him last night or this morning or yesterday morning? What are you going to talk to Him about tonight? What is Jesus in your life? Where is He at in your life? How are you seeing Jesus in your life? Is He someone you're running from and hiding from so He don't whop you up on the side of the head? Are you running to Him because you bump on your face as you bow before His feet and sit at His feet and are fed by the Word of God? How do you see Jesus today? Is He one that reaches out the strong right hand and pulls you up and takes you up out of the angry waves and puts you back in the boat? How do you see Jesus today? Is He the one that spoke to your heart and brought life to your soul? Is He the one that spoke to your family and put it back together? Is He the one that spoke to your children and they got saved? Is He the one that was there when your grandchild was baptized? How do you see Jesus today? What's Jesus doing in your life right now, today? Is He real today in your life? Is there no ISAV? Is there no bomb in Gilgal? Best way, one of the best ways to see the manifold glories and graces and wisdom of God is in your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9 is the ungenerated person, the person that's not saved. And verse 10 is the people that are saved. God wants you to see Jesus. Jesus wants you to see Him. He wants you to see Him today. He doesn't want you to wait till you hear the trumpet. He doesn't want you to wait till you close your eyes for the last time to see Jesus. He wants you to see Him as He is today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. Yea, the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of God which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in words with man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. There's great wonders and great mysteries and great things He has for you to know and see and understand. But you see Him with the Spirit that dwells in your heart. There's no correct pictures, photographs, drawings, statues, or anything of Jesus that's on this earth right now. But you can see Jesus in your heart, in the eyes of your soul. See Jesus. Jesus needs to be just as real and just as powerful in your life as what John saw on the Isle of Patmos. As we saw Him in the midst of the throne. As we saw Him coming down on the horse out of heaven. He needs to be just as real as those visions in your heart. He needs to be just that real in your life right now, today, this very day, on February the 8th in 2009. He's a real God. He's a real Savior. And He lives in your heart. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Golly. We have this heavenly treasure in earthen vessels, it says. It's amazing. Only God can do that. Only God. Someone that's real and that personal and that lovable in your life is the most important one in your whole life. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation. I don't know how God wants to use this or what He wants to do with it, but dear God, we just ask that You'll take this time as You touch hearts and souls and minds and bodies, God, that You'll give us power and strength to serve You in our utmost. God, let me have a vision of You in my life. God, let me see You through Your Word. God, let me see You through the miracles. God, let me see You through family and life and creation, the firmaments. God, let me see You everywhere. God, let You be real in my life. A real present help in the time of trouble. We ask these things in the name of Jesus.